I'm walking on a driveway on Waiheke Island, looking for a man called Al Mahana. I read about him in the local paper. Now, he's just finished a recording that's taken him 30 years to complete. And there he is, playing a flugelhorn on his deck. But you won't hear any instruments on this epic album, only the birds and the bees of Waiheke. And this is what it sounds like. So what are we listening to?
This is in a forest clearing.
And when did you start this project?
I started this 30 years ago.
Wow. And so was this one of those ideas where you were like, I've got to get out and record that sound?
Well, no. It's a really, really long story. I come back here and... it's a thrush.
That's a thrush.
So, do you want that left on?
As we settle in for the interview and make the usual arrangements, the sounds of birds fill the room from Al's impressive monitor speakers. A pot-belly stove sits in the centre, a piano at the side. Imagine the little house on the prairie crossed with a recording studio.
In the background for a wee bit.
Okay.
So
it started when I first came to Waiheke. I lived in the Seaview Road and I played trumpet, and I lived on this house on the cliff so I could play. I played from 4 to 7 hours a day. And then I decided to build a house because I wanted to live here, and I got a loan from the Housing Corporation. And the guy that came from the Housing Corporation to see me to inspect my work and to make sure it was a good idea, he was married to a Japanese lady. And so he used to go to Tokyo all the time, and he'd tell me about the people on the trains, but they used to have to push everybody in. And he wanted me, he saw my gear, more pork, Matsutui flying. Then he said that when they sit on the trains, because they're so jammed and close together, yeah, they listen with headphones in and they just go into their own little world. So he wanted me to make some albums of industrial metal noise, water noise, air noise, whole sequence of albums for people to kind of really go into their little world with. And that idea didn't really interest me, but at the same time, I was reviewing CDs for New Zealand Musician magazine, and I got sent a CD of Birds on Tiri Tiri Matangi, and it was really, really beautiful. But the people that had made the CD had added music to it, and the music sounded like saccharin, because it was flutes and keyboards, yep, and things, and the birds sounded like honey, and you just wanted the music to shut up, and yep, just was, and that's really where it came from, those two things. That's got water in it. There's a little stream there and at this part of the recording.
So can you remember when you play back all these recordings, do you have a picture of where you were?
Oh yeah, yeah. I went to probably about 20 different locations though, and I recorded it. Well, I spent about 3 or 4 years, first of all, designing the equipment. I actually built little preamps that would work on batteries and would give me this kind of quality. Right. I built microphones, like I made shotgun mics.
Okay.
I made parabolic dishes, and I went through about 4 or 5 designs until I actually got the design that gave me what I really wanted.
Because you can't get close enough with normal equipment, can you?
No, that's right. You've got to use distant mics, and they often create a lot of noise. So you've got to have really low noise preamp systems and really high grade microphone systems. So in the end, I got what I wanted, and then I did it in stereo with one mic pointing more towards the sea and one more towards the bush. So you kind of got two kinds of seabirds,
right,
bush birds, and a mix of the two of them. And the result is that you get a really intimate recording, really close. You can hear them in the branches, plus way in the distance doing whatever it is they do. So I did that for another probably 5, 6, 7, well, I just kept doing it. I did it for years and years because the birds are just like us. They have days when they feel really good and days when they don't want to sing and days when they're grumpy. And then after I got all those recordings, I edited them down to when there was no wind, no helicopters, yep. No humans.
Right.
And edited it down to the moments where they were really in a kind of a joyful state, you know?
Yeah.
It was actually really inspiring because I had to listen to it for a lot. I just listened to it for hours and hours and hours.
We're sitting in a room filled with a lot of recording equipment,
yeah.
My mind is telling me that I'm in the bush, yeah, near yeah. a stream, and
that's right.
It's beautiful.
It is very, very atmospheric. Like the real idea of it was like a kind of a postcard that people could send to friends that had never been to see them on Waiheke, or people that used to live on Waiheke and now they're in a little garret in New York and they want a little memory of this place because it's just our birds, which we don't have a huge variety of birds,
right.
but it's the specific birds that we have here.
So what birds are we talking about?
Pheasants, tuis, there's even bellbirds there.
So there are bellbirds in Waiheke?
No.
No?
We imported them. Yes, they brought some over for a very... They actually imported some for about, but they didn't survive. But while they were here, I actually managed to get a few recordings of them.
Ah, wow.
Yeah,
is that right? Okay.
It was just very briefly. So my favourite, though, is a pheasant, which is just like a big chook.
I think I saw a pheasant the other day.
Yeah, there's one that lives here.
Oh, right.
In this section. Yeah. Yeah, but there's kingfishers. There's also the insects, the cicadas, the yep. bees. The air, the water, and there's elements of it right through it because we're surrounded by water, so there's water right through the whole hour. Some of it's more oceany as it goes yeah. towards the end, there's a lot more ocean. This is a gentle stream.
Yeah. What's that?
Not sure of all of them.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. There's so many different sounds.
There's so many,
you know,
yeah.
And I'm into birds, but even
yeah.
in myself,
yeah.
Oftentimes I'll go, yeah. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. But there is an index on the inside yeah. where if you hear something, there's most of the bird yeah. type species that are there are indexed, so you can actually find it on your CD. You can locate to a place and listen to it again, where the starlings are. Where the tuis are.
We were just walking down to the beach this morning and I heard this beautiful little song, looked up, I thought it was a sparrow. I was thinking, yeah. sparrows don't yeah. make that noise, but it yeah. was a finch.
Yeah.
A beautiful little song.
Yeah, finches are actually quite hard to catch because it's so high and mixed yeah. in with all the other sounds. So I did all that. I recorded it down, then I edited it to all the happy, kind of joyful singing.
So there aren't sounds of... There isn't the alarm sound.
Yeah, there
so
are.
Much.
There's alarm
there
sounds
so
too.
So there is a dark side as well.
Yeah, 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 okay. yeah, yeah. It's not all full of sounds. Like there's bits where they're just hanging out and they're not really going, like having a big chorus. They're just relaxing and talking to each other. So it's quite natural sounding, yeah. But it moves from a place to another place. So I mixed it so that it was actually interesting.
Yep.
And kind of like a story. So it goes for... and. Yeah, so it's a mix of me playing with it. But I did actually complete it about 10 years ago, but I treated it like I do the production in the studio.
Yeah.
And I decided that when I'd finished it, that I didn't like that. It made it too produced. It's just like I like the music I produced to sound.
So you felt like it lost something from the natural sound
yeah,
that you
yeah.
first
just
recorded?
Yeah, just adding the compression and the right. reverbs and the EQ and all that. I just wanted to hear it sounding just more natural. So yeah. I started over. And why it took so long is because there's actually 16 tracks and each stereo track has got different information on it. And I had to kind of memorize everything for a whole hour on all these tracks and know which places I wanted to feature, which birds I wanted to be more forward and which were more interesting and which were just boring and which were just really, really great sounds and you wanted to let them through or you didn't hear them very much. And then someone would come here and want to do a recording and I'd be interrupted, and all the stuff that was in my head, I'd have to reassert it all after the project was finished, because every time you record somebody, you've got to actually give them your entire attention.
Yes.
So the birds would kind of get, and then we'd finish it, and then I'd have to get the energy up again to really focus on this. And in the end, I just had to tell people I'm not taking any work on until I finish it, because it's the only way it's going to end. So that's what I did. I just closed down for about a month and really carried through until we got to the end.
So what's the most recent actual recording?
Probably the Bellbirds would have been the most recent.
And how long ago was that? That wasn't
very long ago. They were released, I'm not sure when that was. It was only a year, 2 years ago.
In this hour, we're featuring the album In a Forest Clearing, recordings of birdsong made over 30 years by Waiheke musician and engineer Al Mahana.
So I imagine when you go out, as you being Waiheke,
yeah,
helicopters, I mean, there must be a lot of intrusions a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's right. And even boats, because you know what, like a sensitive mic is, like you could hear my water filter. When you're recording these, you can hear everything. If we were talking a couple of miles away, you'd actually hear us, little bits of us. And a boat on the water, the sound travels right across the water. Even when you're way miles away from where the boats are, you can still hear this rumbling. So you have to just edit those out and not use them. So a lot of the days you go, you can't use it. It's too windy, it starts raining, there's machine noise, someone's doing some building, whatever it is. So that's why it takes a lot of real persistence. You just have to do it over and over and over. But what I loved about it, what for me was really inspiring, is that when you listen to a lot of music, not just modern music, but especially, like when people sing, it's often about other stuff. It's about like ego, or money, or trying to conform to some idea that they have. But often when the birds sing at their real best, it's just an expression of pure joy. And that's the kind of singing that I really love to hear, when people sing and it just comes out of them as an expression of, but listening to the birds for so many hours has really altered the way I do everything.
Right.
The way I record, the way I listen to people, the way I play my trumpet. When I play on the veranda quite a lot. When I play, the birds notice it and they actually react to it. And I really, really listen to them too when I'm playing.
And well, that's a common thing for a New Zealander to do, to try and get the tui to copy what you're whistling. And it doesn't often very happen, but does it happen with the trumpet?
Not specifically that they copy me, but they respond. You know, I can tell that they're listening, they're looking at me, because we've got tuis out there, and they will sing. They won't sing when I'm playing, but they will sing to me, you know, and back to me. I have to admit, it's been a great experience for me, and the feedback that I've been getting from people that have got this album, they've bought it, a lot of them have come back and bought another one because they want to give it to their friends, because it's given them quite a lot of joy. So it was worth it taking so long to actually get it, to actually be right, you know.
So I'm imagining you up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, that's right.
Heading out with a bunch of equipment.
That's right. You get up when it's dark. It's still dark, you drive mostly to Oropu, down the other end of the island,
where there's away less
from people. Away from people. I did some here in the bushes and at Whakanawha and quite a few places, really. Like, I went to a lot of different places trying to find, and they all had different little things to offer. But you're right, get up when it's still dark, load all your gear up, drive there, hope that it's going to be a still day, that the birds are going to feel good, and then just do it. And then come home, and then store all the tapes, and then eventually put it all together.
30-year project, you've probably come across different technical formats in that time period.
Yes, that's true.
A changing world.
That's part of it. That's partly why it took longer.
So tell me about the early recordings. Were they recorded on reel-to-reel tapes?
No, they were done to DAT.
DAT, okay.
Yeah. All the recording is actually done to DAT. It was more what I did with it afterwards.
Because DAT tape, for people who don't know, was the first digital audio. Very, very good. It would still sound as good as the fancy hard drive machines of today.
To tape rather than to a hard drive.
It was a little mini tape, but
that's right.
Yeah. And that was standard for many years.
It was one of the first mastering grade kind of stereo inputs that we had after we moved away from tape, which is how I started recording with reel to reel. But you couldn't take a reel-to-reel out to the bush.
Well, if you were doing this 40 years ago,
you
would have a thing called a Nagra, wouldn't you? Which is an incredibly expensive little...
And very good.
But amazing reel-to-reel.
Yeah, very amazing.
The incredible little... Yeah. What's the film with that the Nagra features on?
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's probably the best film about a tape recorder ever made.
He's following a diva. It's called Diva.
Okay.
It's the film Diva. Yeah. And in the film Diva, this fan who's obsessed with the singer sneaks into her concerts with a little Nagra to record the concert.
Yeah, no, I always wanted a Nagra. I loved them. They were just built so beautifully. They said you could drop them out of helicopters and they'd still go. But I've heard recordings with them, and it's very, 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 very good. And they were done on movie sites, and they were made to be portable. Yeah. So I got a DAT.
Yes.
And mostly I used AKG microphones in the end. I within parabolic dishes, which I built, I made about five. It was the fifth one that I ended up using, because the size of a dish actually limits the frequency response.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. The bigger they are, you get a deeper range of frequencies. So I kept making bigger and bigger ones. And I made some shotgun mics as well, experimented with them, but in the end I used an AKG shotgun. I've actually made it now. I just make handmade copies of it. The ones that people are buying, I made it because I didn't want to wait. I was going to release it when I got my truck going, the dear old Land Rover, but the Land Rover will take another, I don't know how long, to get on the road. So I was going to do a public event where we played this.
In this hour, we're featuring the album In a Forest Clearing, recordings of birdsong made over a 30-year period by Waiheke musician and engineer Al Mahana. It features no musicians, no opera singers, only the birds and wildlife of Waiheke Island.
People that know that I've been doing this and they've heard little snippets of it, and everyone's been wanting it and talking about it. So I thought, well, rather than make everyone wait, I'd just make some so that people that really want it can have it. The cover is by lovely, lovely painter called Marion Towns. She doesn't live here now. She gave me this picture 30 years ago.
Wow.
And she got the first copy of this. I sent it down. She lives in Motueka now. And I love her painting. I really, really love it. And that's almost exactly where I was, that picture.
That looks so Waiheke, that
image. It is. It's very, very Waiheke. On the inside of the cover is that's all
right.
Where you can go to the locations and locate the different animals.
Dawn thrush, moorpark.
Yeah.
Grey warbler.
Yeah.
They're amazing, the grey warbler, because you never really see them, do you? But yeah, they sound amazing.
Yeah.
Right down to paradise ducks fly across.
Yeah, that's where it ends.
Right,
so the ducks. That's quite amazing, that. Yeah, they fly right across there. And there's those warning signs before they come as well that you were talking about.
Many of the introduced birds actually have quite amazing sound, don't they? Because we do have a tendency to think the natives are the only ones.
Yeah. I think, though, it's the pheasants that I really, really like, because we've got one living here, and they make these really neat, clucky sounds that I just really, really love. Yeah, my favourite is definitely the pheasant. Even though they're not the prettiest, they're the one I really, really like.
So obviously when you're going after an oyster catcher, you're down on the beach?
Yeah.
Okay, so the tui is the Elvis Presley of birds, really. That's the star, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are quite incredible.
Yeah.
Do you think people mistake tui for bellbirds a lot? Is that
I think so, but obviously, because when the bellbirds left and weren't seen anymore, I kept hearing them everywhere when I was walking, and then I'd look and I'd see that it was a tui.
You don't have any prejudice against birds, like the magpie, for instance?
Oh, no. No, I know that a lot of people do.
But you know what I mean?
It was just they were really sharing something with me, and I just loved that. I'm not I had to get help to identify all this.
So you're not like a bird nutter?
No, I'm not. No, I just love them.
You're a sound nutter.
Yeah, but it's funny how you grow to understand things. Like the pheasants, once I'd heard them, when I heard these sounds and I wanted to know what they were, and the bird in the forest told me they were pheasants, and then I've got them living here, it made me actually see them and appreciate them and enjoy them differently. Yeah. And same with like trees and plants. Like I had a goat for a while, that's another huge story. It's a really interesting story, I think. But I found him when he was really young. And he'd been separated from his mother.
Yeah.
He'd fallen down a bank, and I took him home with me, and he came and lived in the city with me. And he used to love geraniums.
Yeah.
He would eat the flowers, the stems, the leaves, and I didn't know about any flowers until I saw that he would really love geraniums.
Wow.
And that was how I learned about geraniums, because of this goat.
Wow.
So it's funny, isn't it, how one thing kind of leads to another.
The goat didn't make it over to Waiheke?
No. In the end, he went to live on a farm because one of my neighbours complained about him living, and I was in Parnell then, and they didn't think I should have a goat.
Goat in Parnell. He may be the last goat in Parnell.
He was a great goat, because he walked with me just like a dog does. You know, without a leash, he would just follow me.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it not legal to have a goat in Parnell?
Well, the council had quite strict laws about animals, and he used to call out to me when he wanted his drink of milk, you know, and his feed. And goats are really quite naughty as well. Yes. They do take quite a lot of looking after, I've got to admit. Yeah. But I love goats, and I want to, that's one of the things I want to do with video. I want to film this story about the goat. It's actually a song, so I want to definitely film some goats. Yeah, so with the songs, I mainly got people from Forest and Bird to help me with that. I'd still aren't always sure about what I'm hearing when I listen myself. Yeah. It was really just I was just listening to it as kind of like music.
Yeah.
And because I'd started it, I just kept going until I finished it.
Because you might think if you didn't know, you might think it would be, you know, it would be easy to go out and record birdsong.
But I think actually, it is, and I think it depends where you go. It's easier some places than others. But Waiheke, which in that 30 years, like, it has changed so much. Like a lot of these recordings come from earlier back, when before our population had risen to the point that it is now. Like, our population has risen a lot. The whole kind of population that we have now is really different.
Yes.
And I think it would be actually harder to make a clean recording like this now than it was then, even going down to the other end of the island.
Yeah
you'd have to spend even longer and edit it down to moments when there weren't human sounds in it.
Well, there must be a great feeling of satisfaction to have pulled this together, and, you know, over a long period of time.
What makes me feel good is, that I finished it. That's really important to me, that I finished it, because I really want to start the next thing, which is really important to me. And also that the people that have heard it, it has obviously given them they love it. Like, it's given people real joy and real moments of something, and the same way it has for me. It's just a really, really good thing to share with people. It's a lot of bird albums are specific birds. There's this bird, and then there's that bird, and then there's that bird. And that's kind of lovely to hear, but it's not like a construction, which
it's more like a scientific labelling in a museum style.
Yeah.
Track 2, Blue-Wattled Crow, Kōkako.
Yeah, whereas this is something different. It's actually, it's almost like a piece of music. It's a mood thing. Yeah, so my dentist has got one. He puts it on, when he wants to calm people
that's
down and give them something else
that's
to
a
think
good
about.
Idea.
Yeah, and look, the same little article you saw, other people saw that and have come, and I've had a few people that are visitors from other countries that have come, and they want,
because there's a big bird fraternity, isn't there, around the world, and it's an obsession. It's a great obsession for a lot of people, because it's just a great way to get out and see particular parts of the world, and it's kind of it gives you a destination and a point to your journey. And a travel, you know, it's a way of travelling to places you wouldn't normally go to. So it adds an interest to everything.
Yeah, I can see that.
In this hour, we're featuring the album In a Forest Clearing, recordings of birdsong and nature made over a 30-year period by Waiheke musician and engineer Al Mahana.
So you built this place?
Yeah, I built this a long time ago, and all my energy really has been going into the studio.
Yeah.
And a studio I'm really, really happy with. Like, I've got great mics, great preamps. I built a lot of the stuff I built myself, like LA-2A compressors, which we used on some of the birds.
Okay.
Pultec equalizer, also used with them.
So tell me about your interest in recording and in making music. How did this all start out? Did you come from a musical family?
No.
No?
I guess I've always believed in music, you know, as a thing of positive force in the world, at least that it can be. That's what my real interest is.
Do you have any early memories of music that you can, you know, it was when you heard some such and such that you first thought
that got me started?
Yeah.
It was when I was 15. I went to school, and they had all these, they thought that some of the kids might like to learn instruments, and all these instrument teachers came on and was in the hall and played on the stage, and one of them was a trumpet player.
Right.
And it completely, absolutely captivated me. It was just, I suddenly knew that was everything. That was what I really, really wanted to do.
It gave you a physical feeling? You felt that?
Yes. It was like a purpose. It was just what I wanted to do. And I've known that. It's actually a good feeling, that knowing that. And then from then I played in bands and lots of interesting bands and good bands. At first I was into orchestras and that symphonic thing, you know, yeah. being a trumpet and brass bands. And then I got into a blues band and I played with other music, and I just could see the effect that music has on people. It can, in lots of ways, it doesn't always make them feel good, depending on what kind yeah. of music you're playing, but it can really turn people into, it can really shift the way they feel. So that was my real, that's how it started.
Well, it's a great setup you got here. And you know what I love about your place? This is what Waiheke, you know, to me in a way, that this is what I imagined when I had never come to Waiheke.
Yeah,
I heard
yeah.
that this is a place where artists lived.
Yeah,
and you've still got that yeah, feeling here in this yeah, building, which yeah. is fantastic.
It's what Waiheke used to be.
That's still part of Waiheke, isn't it?
That's still part of it. That's why I'm still here. I love Waiheke. I actually built this house for my boy so that he have a home. I don't really think of it as my place, but it's, but I'll always, Waiheke is my home, and even if I travel and go to other places, I will still, it'll always be where I want yeah. to be.
So where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Auckland. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I travelled quite a lot around New Zealand, you know, with different bands and different musical things. I haven't really been overseas very much, but I've always, even with all the changes that Waiheke has gone through, it's still where I want to be,
yeah,
and where I think I'll always want to be home.
Because there's a thing here where the millionaires and the artists still coexist. You know, there's obviously a little bit of tension between the two worlds and the expanding nature of, you know, what the millionaires bring to
yeah,
Waiheke.
Yeah, they make it more expensive to live here. They can't help it because of what they do. But I just think that we've all got our little place, haven't we? We've all got the things that we think are important.
Yeah.
People that come here to record, it's just, that's part of it. It's like nice. Somewhere else, and they can go into their own world of their music and feel like, I don't know, it's just a good environment for creating, yeah. I think.
And you've got this great big veranda here, which is, yeah. This is just always key, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, often when they do their warm-up singing, they sing out there, and it's just really good to just sing out, you know, before we go into the mics and everything, just to actually sing acoustically.
So you built this place yourself?
Yep.
Did you have any building skills before that?
I worked with other builders, helping to build houses.
Right.
And mostly what I learnt from building other people's houses was how I didn't want to build my house, because builders, when they build houses, they have to build it to a certain time.
Right.
There's a lot of pressure, and if it takes longer than it's supposed to, they don't make any money. And because they have to build quite fast, they tend to use materials which are quicker to implement, things like chipboard on the floors,
yep.
which I really hate.
Yeah.
But they all do that. And so that's mostly what I learned. I didn't want to use a nail gun. I didn't want chipboard on the floor. And I just learnt construction methods, mostly that I didn't want. And then I just built it and took my time with it. Yeah, and enjoyed it, you know, rather than it be, and it was designed to be acoustic, you know,
right.
It was designed as a house studio.
Because you can see you've got that big room there.
Yeah, and because of the ceiling and the way it goes up to the top, the acoustics in there are really good. Like, I record drums in there, they sound really good. The room, that little room, which is where I do electronics, and it's like an isolation room. It's got double skinned walls so that you can...
Wow.
You know, make it soundproof. Because as Waiheke has grown, become more noisy.
Yeah.
You know, they have parties, there's more cars.
Yeah.
But
you obviously get on well with your neighbours?
My neighbours are great. For it's only recently that I've actually had neighbours that actually live next to me. These people have decided to retire there. But until then, people would buy the house next to me,
yeah.
Sell it again 6 months later after spending lots of money on making it theirs. I mean, the same people, that would happen over and over. People buy the house, rebuild it, and the price keeps going up each time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just, not a lot of people that live up here treat their houses as homes, but as investments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so neighbours hasn't been an issue.
Now, I noticed a cat wandering through before,
yeah,
and I was wondering how she responds to the bird the constant bird noises.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ever
some confusion there?
Yeah, no, she loves the birds. Yeah, look, she really, really notices them. But she's got used to it now. But when I was playing it a lot, it would really, get her quite agitated, quite excited. Yeah, but she's an old cat now. She's a very old cat.
She's not killing birds anymore, is she?
No, not for a long, long time. No, she just sleeps and eats. That's all she does.
How many hours do you think you spent editing?
Oh, like it would probably be hundreds. Believe it or not, it actually took that long. Each channel had to be kind of edited of all the 16. Then it had to be mixed, and then it had to be treated so that it actually sat nicely, and then it had to be put together so that it created a whole, and then the overall mastering of the thing had to be done too, also keeping to the idea that it still stayed sounding natural and sort of innocent, you know, and not like a production.
Beautiful.
But I usually play more free form than that, but that sort of gives you the sound of it. Do you want to hear something?
Yeah.
The flute was on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so much like an extension of you that you become so much a part of it.
So seriously, that's in your will that that's going to be buried with
you? Yes,
you may have missed that, but Al says that it's in his will that he'll be buried with his flugelhorn.
I'll play you a song from a friend of mine.
That'll be a great find for some future archaeologist, won't it?
Yes. A little bit of flugel coming.
Your flight is away. I can't
hear. Al Mahana in his Waiheke recording studio. He's just completed a 30-year project recording the sounds of the birds of the island. It's called In a Forest Clearing, and it's a beautiful thing. For more on Al and his studio and how to get yourself a copy of the album, go to audioarts.co.nz. audioarts.co.nz